Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
If you like weird and strange history as much as I do, then I have the podcast for you. I'm Jason Horton, host of Strange Year. Each episode, I break down the strange history and cultural happenings during that year, like 1977, the Wow Signal, 1963, Three Tramps Theory, 1844, the Millerite Movement, 1997, the Phoenix Lights, 1896, the Shortest War, 2004, Benjamin Kyle, 1518, the Dancing Plague, 1985, the Move Bombing, 1972, Remote Viewing. So to get your weekly weird history fix, pause the podcast you're listening to right now and subscribe to Strange Year wherever you listen to podcasts.
USA's DIY UFO. I'm Rebecca Lieb.
I'm Jason Horton.
And this is Ghost Town.
Between 1956 through 1961, during the Cold War, the U.S. Air Force was working on a flying saucer-like craft and was in research and developed at the U.S. Air Force's Aeronautical Systems Division and was contracted out to Canadian company Avro Aircraft Limited, essentially designed to shoot down Soviet bombers under the name Project 1794.
Whoa.
And just to preface this, this is a fail in the sense it didn't succeed. It's not necessarily a fail because it was an embarrassment mm-hmm. or it was a huge misstep. It's just, like many things, things that didn't come to fruition like they hoped, but that doesn't mean they aren't interesting, especially when in discussion of the UFOs, the Cold War, the United States wanting an advantage.
Yeah.
In any way that they can, and how maybe these UFOs possibly kind of were in the crosshairs of other people seeing UFOs. Mm. So a little bit of that, because we're in that time.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. We're in that
1950s, early 60s.
Yeah. People don't know what they're seeing up there.
Now, if you haven't heard about this, even though the information has been out there for a little while, it was only declassified in June 2001, and the National Declassification Center, National Archives, approved them for public consumption in 2012. So this is relatively new information. There's really cool schematics. It's a lot of photos. There's a lot of graphs. There's a lot of charts and such that kind of illustrate what it might do. I think there's some video that kind of shows really what actually ended up happening with it.
Okay.
But essentially, it just did not come to be. And really nothing to do with, like, we need a spaceship to find aliens.
No, they were like, we're just going to use this. People are already seeing stuff already. We're just going to pop this in the mix and see if we can get some Russian spies.
Strategically, a craft like this is a little bit different than maybe what people are used to seeing.
Yeah.
And we need every advantage we can get. And you know, and kind of thinking about the what warfare was when we were dealing with, you know, remote viewing and ESP and mm-hmm. things that the military were like, yeah, we're going to give this a shot. Does it really work? Can you walk through walls? Mm-hmm. And where some people claim they can, they did anything to gain intelligence and advantage over the enemy. And the Cold War was at the, you know, at the height of that.
Of it, yeah.
I mean, from media to movies. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was pretty, in the 80s, I was pretty indoctrinated to hate communism.
Yeah.
You know, with
I mean, even when we talk about socialism now, I feel like people get very, they make that correlation.
Yeah, it's or but I think some people now are a little more friendly towards Russia
yeah.
and communism. And like my wife is, her family is from Moscow and Kiev, mm-hmm. and she's first generation, you know, second generation Russian and just interesting culturally, and they're very, very cool. Maybe they're spies, though. Just putting that out there in case they are.
You're watching them.
If they're KGB.
You're cohabitating with the enemy.
How do I know? Well, I am with the enemy. I know. That's it's the end. Listen, if you're, okay, your significant other is the enemy.
Okay,
that's,
got it.
That's
got
the
it.
Big message Check. Here. The Avro Canada VZ9 Avro car or Project 1794 got as far as the initial rounds of product development, prototypes, and they enlisted Canadian aircraft manufacturer Avro, which was doing a lot of cool stuff, but they were on their way out. They were, you know, kind of cool, interesting aircraft, kind of to traverse different things, but they weren't doing so well. And they actually went out of business. They were in business from, I think, 1947 to 1962. Mm-hmm. So part of what they wanted to use is this thing called the Konata effect, which I didn't know what that was.
And I don't know either.
Well, here's the definition, and I'll tell you what I think it is. It's a phenomenon which a jet flow attaches itself to a nearby surface and remains attached even when the surface curves away from the initial jet direction. Even if the surface is curved away from the initial direction, the jet tends to remain attached. If you theoretically took a leaf blower and then took a ping pong ball and put it above the leaf blower blowing up and the ball staying in the air, or if you were laying down and blowing and then, you know, something that of the weight that could, you can keep it kind of extended. That is, from what I gather, is the Konata effect. And that's what they wanted to use to get this flying saucer.
Oh, that would be such a large gust of like whatever.
When you watch a lot of, you know, science fiction, it seems like there's just a lot of push down and with regular aircraft. But it seems like that thing where it's like things are pushing down away from a hard surface or and, you know, going against gravity and using that to propel you up.
Yeah.
It was supposed to the saucer was supposed to reach a top speed between Mach 3 and Mach 4. Very fast.
Okay.
And a maximum range with allowances of about 1,000 nautical miles, which is pretty far.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It was pretty far.
I don't know how they would accomplish that given the way that they were going to propel this thing. But again,
they followed through and was successful with it, it would spin through the Earth's stratosphere at an average top speed of about 2,600 miles an hour. It was designed to take off and land vertically, which is the VTOL, which is mentioned a lot on here, is vertical landing, using propulsion jets to control and stabilize the aircraft. The range of 1,000 nautical miles seemed limited in comparison to the other specifications. But if you were to take this in New York, it could have you in Miami within about 24 minutes.
Oh, all right.
But you need to get to Miami quicker than that.
Hello.
You go to South Beach. Pitbull's there.
Time is money.
Mr. Worldwide's there. I know.
Pitbull concert, please. Yeah. I need my Cuban sandwich and my Pitbull.
I need in 23 minutes. So come on, NASA.
Come on now.
The document also hints that the product development seemed to be going better than planned. They were just like, hey, everybody, this is going, it's actually going too well. We're like too ahead of schedule. And it's superior performance to the estimated start of contract negotiations. So when things are negotiating, they're like, I don't know how to tell you this, but this is going too good.
Really well.
Do you want to win the Cold War too fast?
Yeah.
Then this is it.
We're ahead of schedule, which is which is always really good news. So give us more money. I don't know.
But did it fail? Yes.
It did.
The cost of continuing the prototype was estimated at $3,168,000,000. Now, I don't want you to translate what you think that in today's dollars, because you're going to say like $60.
You'll I'm be never like, going to live that down.
You're going to think it's $4 million.
Listen, I just when it comes to relics and money conversions, I'm not your go-to. Okay, I'm not. When it comes to fun quips and talking about my dating life, I'm your go-to.
No, we're not going to that now.
Nobody,
it's not going to help. Project 1794, that would cost today close to $30 million. And too much for something that's not, although I'm sure money is spent and spent and researched and things that don't come to be for anything. Anything that is made, whether you're a musician or you make movies or products or you make dinner and you're like, this dinner stinks, I'm going to throw it out and start over again. That happens. The problem with the flying saucer developed under the same program, so they made a couple of attempts.
Yeah.
They didn't get anywhere near 100,000 feet in altitude, more like 5 or 6 feet. It's just kind of hovering above, like a
science fair project.
It's like a hovercraft over land.
Great. They're like 1,000 feet. How about 5?
So they finally gave up on it in 1960. And I was looking on Reddit because I know you need a little conspiracy, right?
Yeah, I need my Reddit fix.
So Malviato says, Project 1794, anagram for 1947, the year the Roswell crash happened.
Whoa. I mean, it's also very close to my old address, 1755, Wilton Place. What does it mean?
Nothing. Nothing. I remember that place and nothing, trust me. But what is interesting about 1947 is John Carver Meadows Frost, known as Jack Frost, is a British aircraft designer, and he joined Avro in 1947. He seems to be the initial architect handling these things. So was the 1947 where this really began? 1794 to kind of, I don't throw people off the scent, or they were just like, let's just call it that. And maybe if people were like, I saw things in 1947, maybe we're seeing the initial stages of prototypes. I mean, who's to say? I don't know.
I don't know.
So from Hackaday.com.
Hackaday.
Which we always go to. It's which we all know and trust.
Yeah, yeah.
They have some pretty interesting testimonials and information. Hiru Dania says, I've always thought there might have been an American conspiracy behind that. The Arrow flew just after Sputnik. The Americans set up NASA and needed a shitload, of aeronautical engineers. Then Arrow gets canceled, the Americans pressuring allies not to buy it, by the way. And the very day of the cancellation, American recruiters for NASA and U.S. aerospace companies happened to set up in a hotel in Malton to take advantage of the laid-off Avro engineers.
Okay.
Conspiracy, who knows, but convenient for the American space program. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
I want to thank Wired, The Black Vault, Popular Mechanics, and Hackaday. Now, there is a conspiracy that patreon.com/ghosttownpod that has maybe more UFO-based bonus episodes.
Yeah.
Is directly tied in.
Uh-oh.
To this. So if you want to put the piece together,
if you want to connect the dots,
check that out, because there's early access, no ads.
Yeah, there's all sorts of
bonus
stuff.
Episodes.
If you want a tarot read,
yeah,
hit me up.
Yeah, and if you want a tarot read if you want tarot read,
you're in the wrong place.
Or are you? I'll look into it if you want.
Is this tarot dice? I don't know.
We don't know. But if you want a tarot read, let Rebecca know.
Yeah.
Contact her on Instagram at Rebecca Lieb. Let her know that you're a patron so she can get fast-tracked in there.
That's right. It's only Patreon people now. I don't have time to willy-nilly do reads. So only our VIPs.
Yeah. Which Barrett Brown, Brandon.
That's right. Brandon Gaddis. Definitely Chris Witt.
Yeah, so our mayors.
Our mayors are all over it. Do you want to be a mayor too?
Yeah.
Maybe there's room for you.
Yeah, oh, I don't know. This is going to be politics right now. Uh-oh. This is not something you want to mess with.
That's right.
Do you love true crime, history, and mysterious happenings? Every week on The Cult of Domesticity, a guest and I discuss a different historical happening, a true crime story, or whatever strikes our fancy. Join me, Courtney, every Thursday to hear some fascinating tales from some fascinating people, wherever you listen to podcasts.